If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
We are here. Me, Movie Mike, Kelsey, how are you?
I'm great. I'm sitting here with a heating pad on my shoulders. I was trying to be a strong, independent woman on my flight 4 weeks ago and put my bag in the overhead bin. And the problem isn't that I'm not strong. It's that I'm short, and so getting a large object over my head is usually difficult. And I pulled a back muscle, and it still hurts 4 weeks later. And I am icing it. I'm using a heating pad. I'm putting, like, Bengay on it at night. It's real. It's really fun being 30.
But we're here to talk about the Oscars.
You're like, shut up about your injury. Yes, the
Big
Oscars.
Big night last night. We'll go through the winners. We'll talk about our best and worst moments of the night. Some cringeworthy moments of the night.
The fashion.
But first, we'll get into the big winner that you've seen by now. Best Picture went to Oppenheimer. I didn't really think there were any surprises there. Going into this, I knew how much Oppenheimer was going to dominate because it was nominated the most. And really, there wasn't any competition.
The surprise was how terribly it was announced.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that.
That was the surprise.
But I did have a bet with producer Eddie from the Bobby Bone Show, which if you don't know, I am the head writer over there. And we had this parlay bet where if all three of my picks hit, I would win $100. If just one of them missed, he would win $20 for me, which is a terrible bet on his end, mainly because I don't think he knew how much I knew going into it. The funny thing is he hated Oppenheimer.
So I would even go against you, though, your Movie Mike.
Because you think in a parlay, it's hard to hit because if just one of those things goes wrong, the whole bet is out. And to be honest, it is rare for a movie to dominate that much in those three categories, very big categories. And when it comes to the way that people vote, I feel like there's always a wild card in one of those where either they go a little bit more like on the foreign film side, or they just pick an actor kind of out of left field and they end up winning. And at one point I thought, oh man, they could go with somebody else here. But after watching all of these movies and knowing what I know about how these people vote, I just didn't see anybody else taking those home. Like, I just couldn't visualize it. And that's how I think about these awards is I literally in my head try to visualize that person winning. And if I can see that in my head, see their speech, see the way that their performance was in that movie, that is who I go with. But in this case, in this parlay we had, I had Best Picture, Oppenheimer, which won. I had Best Director, Christopher Nolan. He won his first Oscar ever, which is astonishing that it took him this long to win Best Director. A lot of people last night won for the first time ever that you think, oh, they probably have a lot of Oscars. Not the case. Best Actor, another first-time winner, went to Cillian Murphy. It was just kind of cool for him because he's been working with Christopher Nolan so long. I know one of them referenced it in their speech of being longtime collaborators. And he has gone from having smaller supporting roles in Christopher Nolan movies to now in one of the most epic roles of his life now has an Oscar win. I thought that was pretty cool.
I love seeing people win for the first time. And I also love that you won $100. Thank you, Eddie. We'll be going out to dinner on your dime.
I don't want to say that was the easiest $100 that I've ever won.
Pretty easy.
But I made that. I made those picks back in January when it was first announced.
I think you said January 24th.
I posted the text. I had the proof. I had the receipts. So I just knew how much Oppenheimer was going to dominate that even right before, I would have felt comfortable adding Robert Downey Jr. And I know you could come in now like, oh, yeah, I knew that one too. But there was nobody else in that category that I thought did as good of a job as Robert Downey Jr. did. And supporting actor is always kind of weird. Because the way you get nominated for that and the level, it just, I guess just when it comes down to screen time, it's like what really warrants just supporting actor.
It is weird too. Like supporting actor makes you feel like you're like kind of like subpar in the category. Speaking of Robert Downey Jr., I will say some of Jimmy Kimmel's jokes were pretty low blows. And you could tell when Robert Downey Jr. gave a speech, he was pissed off about that opening monologue.
Yeah, here is that moment from last night.
This is the highest point of Robert Downey Jr.'s long and illustrious career. Well, one of the highest points. But Robert has been a... Was that too on the nose or is that a drug motion you made?
Weird to hear everybody laugh at that.
Oh, it was bad. Even listening to it again, it's just so cringy.
And then later when Robert Downey Jr. won, he made like a reference to his lawyer. It almost sounds like he was going to sue Jimmy Kimmel for the joke. Is the kind of vibe I got. I haven't seen anything about that today.
Oh, yeah. I didn't take it at that. I just, when he shouted out like his really terrible childhood. And if you don't know, I feel like most people know, but Robert Downey Jr. was an addict. Had some issues, has been, I think, clean and sober for like over 20 years and like really turned his life around. And I feel like jokes like that are jokes about someone's personal struggles or like misogynistic jokes to me are such low hanging fruit to where it's like, if that's the funniest you can come up with, you're not actually that funny.
I felt like the comedy in general last night was pretty by the numbers. And it feels like hosting is just like a lose-lose situation right now.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like you either make like the misogynistic go after Taylor Swift jokes, but I just feel like there's ways to be funnier other than making some fun of someone's addiction.
I don't think there's a way to be funny in award shows anymore. I think the format as far as like being a funny host is dead. You just can't really do it anymore. I'm somebody who writes jokes like that for those situations. It is hard to do. The only person I see right now doing it well is Trevor Noah. And he doesn't really so much as write a bunch of like jokes, roasting people, which there's a difference between roasting and just going at low hanging fruit and like really just hating on people. He really approached the Grammys when he hosted as more of just being almost like not punching down, but just like highlighting people, making fun moments. And
his
not
jokes were funnier. Yeah.
And he wasn't so much focused on like, I want people tomorrow to say Trevor Noah was such a great host and he was so hilarious. He just did a good job at what a host should do now is keeping it moving along.
I was just about to say the job of a host is like move it along, keep it going.
Keep it positive and then highlight the celebrities there who they come there and they don't really want to get ridiculed. Like have fun with them, do some moments that aren't necessarily going to make anybody mad and not necessarily try to be so like, he really got him with that one.
I think one of the best moments in, I don't even remember what year it was, but was when Jimmy took some celebrities over to the theater where they were streaming and doing like an Oscars watch party and they passed out like pizza to people. Like, I think there's just a way to make it entertaining without making fun of people. And I'm sure some people would be like, everyone's too sensitive. I don't think it's sensitive when, people show up. They're there to be recognized for their work. They don't want to be ridiculed for who they are.
I agree. And I even like Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, I think he's one of the funnier. I think Jimmy Fallon would do a good job, too.
Yeah, again, I think people just don't want to take these jobs anymore because you're just going to end up looking bad. Like, that is really the best case scenario. You do an okay job and nobody mentions you the next day. Or you do some jokes that people don't like and then people roast you during the ceremony or the next day is just terrible. So if I had to rate Jimmy Kimmel as a host, B minus C plus.
That's what I would do. Guillermo was funny.
Yeah. There's our Mexican representation there.
I love Guillermo when he said he was married to Charlize Theron and they panned to her and she was like, didn't know we were married.
And he's handing out everybody the shots of tequila.
Those were very fancy little tequila bottles.
It was. Moving on down the list, best actress went to Emma Stone. I got that one right. So far, I have nailed all my picks.
That was...
No, wait. Actually, I got that one wrong. I went with Lily Gladstone.
I was surprised, but I was happy for Emma. I think Emma deserved it as well. I thought if it was going to be anyone, it was going to be either of them. I didn't feel like the other three were too serious. Although Sandra Hüller was in two movies that were nominated, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, Carey Mulligan, she was there and I forgot that she's married to Mumford and Sons guy. And you tell me every time that I forget
Literally,
that she's married to Mumford and Sons guy.
Every time. Or I'm like, one time I said she's married to Marcus Mumford and you said, who is that? And I said, Mumford and Sons.
I was like, oh, I thought he was another actor.
But Carey Mulligan was best dressed. That dress was phenomenal. She looked beautiful.
I wasn't surprised that Emma Stone winning.
Poor things did a bit of a sweep.
When you think about this, is how I have to look at it totally objectively and take out what it would have meant for Lily Gladstone to win, which it would have been a big moment.
Which I think that's what we were wanting was like the moment for her.
And I think that's what it became more of, because I think that would have had more of an impact, would have been more showing representation in film, which is highly important. I just did in the episode talking about how white and male the top 10 right now is. So I think that would have been important. I also would have loved it for her, because winning an Oscar is great. You don't really get money from it, but you're able to work more because you can say, I am an Oscar winning actor. So I would have loved that for her. But when it comes down to the roles on their own, you take all that out of it. Emma Stone's performance in Poor Things is more monumental to making that movie work. All the things that her character went through in that movie and how she depicted that was incredible. And it's so much more of a driving force than Lily Gladstone's character in Killers of the Flower Moon. My real issue with that movie is what Scorsese decided to focus on in that story. If it would have focused more on Lily Gladstone
and the Osage tribe,
it would have been a much different and more impactful movie and more of a novel movie that probably would have won for Best Picture.
Like the book.
But they decided to focus more on Leonardo DiCaprio and De Niro and really just became another Martin Scorsese crime drama. Therefore, I feel like that movie lost some of the impact that it had. And also, when you look at Lily Gladstone as best actress here, it was almost like her role wasn't as big in that movie as Emma Stone's was. So it was almost, I don't want to say unfairly matched, but if she would have been nominated for best supporting actress, that's also weird how they determine this. She would have easily won that.
Yeah, you're right.
But I think for her, it was probably a lot cooler and more impactful to be nominated for best actress. But just on the roles alone and how much Emma Stone did in that, I'm not surprised that she won, but I just thought that the Academy would vote for Lily Gladstone. That was a great moment, and here is a bit of Emma Stone's speech from last night.
I'm so deeply honored to share this with every cast member, with every crew member, with every single person who poured their love and their care and their brilliance into the making of this film. And Yorgo, thank you for the gift of a lifetime in Bella Baxter. I am forever thankful for you. Thank you for inviting all of us to be members of this team. Thank you.
She felt very human going up there. She had that dress malfunction.
I was obsessed with that. She was like, my dress is broken in the back. Don't look at it.
And the other thing I always forget is that Emma Stone is married and has a baby as a 3-year-old.
Yes. I loved the reunion between Emma Stone and Sally Field.
Oh, yeah. From Spider-Man.
I did. I thought that was like so sweet and pure.
Best supporting actress went to Davine Joy Randolph from
Loved that.
The Holdovers. Yeah, that was a great win for her. I guess I'm not surprised at how much that movie didn't win, but I'm glad that out of everybody that she won.
I will also say we almost missed that award because we were going to pick up dinner and we didn't think they started with that strong of an award. So we listened to the Oscars through Bluetooth in the car on the way to pick up dinner.
Let's talk about the earlier start time on the Oscars. I love
Phenomenal.
It.
Phenomenal.
Starting an hour early is the way to go because this award show always goes on so long. And for me, I love it. But it starts to become 10:30, 10:45. It keeps going on longer and longer. Last night, it was done by around 9:30 Central. Amazing. We were able to watch Abbott Elementary after it.
I was like, that means it's only 7:30 in LA and they are all about to party. That's so hard.
That's awesome for them. The people who just won, it's the night is so young. You can go out, get your in and out, and then go to parties.
I love seeing all of the party pics.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of a dream.
Like the Vanity Fair.
See, you would rather go just for the after parties. I would rather go just to the award show.
Yeah, because I said you can hobnob with people.
Hobnob.
Yes, I did use the phrase hobnob.
Best animated feature, got this one right. It went to The Boy and the Heron. So far, I've only missed one of these. Best adapted screenplay went to American Fiction, which I said it would be Oppenheimer. But a much cooler win for American Fiction to win.
We loved that movie.
That was a great speech that the director gave. I think out of everybody, he felt like the most genuine to just be up there, which is cool. I know some of these awards aren't the most sexy of award categories and the people go up there and you're like, I don't know who this person is. But those people just like cherish it so much more. And I think that is what makes me love the Oscars because you see these people who either wrote or directed these movies, worked on the costumes, they get to go up there and be recognized. And I feel like that is just more wholesome to me than like a big Hollywood actor who gets paid millions of dollars and is already celebrated all the time.
Other very genuine people going up there. Was it for best documentary short? It was The Last Repair Shop.
Yes. The little girl, the 12-year-old.
The 12-year-old who's featured in it. She looked like a queen. She was so beautiful. And she went up on stage and she just stood there and smiled and she had her purse. And I loved that moment for her. Like, she didn't stop smiling.
The whole time.
I hope that, like, that is, like, one of the coolest moments of her life is that she got to be on stage. And I feel like everyone was so excited to see her, like, walking down. Like, that moment just gave me chills. It was so pure.
That was cool. Best original screenplay. I got this one wrong. I said it would be The Holdovers. It actually went to Anatomy of a Fall, which I don't know if the controversy that came out right before the Oscars of The Holdovers possibly being plagiarized had anything to do with that. That's probably right. Too late in the voting process, but Anatomy of the Fall.
A Fall.
That movie was boring.
The dog being there last night.
The dog was the best part, and him clapping in the audience was the best part for me.
They weren't going to let the dog go.
But
it was
made
like
it.
A thing. And people were like, no, let the dog. And his name's Messi. M-E-S-S-I. It was great.
But I feel like some people who enjoy courtroom dramas, like
I
found
a courtroom drama. And that was not for me.
It was not for me. I was like, did she do it? Did she not do it? Do I care about this? I really don't. But, oh, man, of all the movies to be nominated there, I just couldn't be that big a fan of it.
I just put it together. That's why they played the instrumental version of
P.I.M.P.
at the Oscars last night, because that was the song he listened to. That was how much I wrote that movie out of my brain, is that in this moment right now recording this, I was like, that's why there was the instrumental version of P.I.M.P. at the Oscars.
I do enjoy the band they have playing and all those little things they put in there. I wish they would have played the Godzilla song, though. Best international film went to The Zone of Interest. I thought it would be The Society of the Snow. The more I get removed from watching The Zone of Interest, the more I realize its impactfulness.
Yeah, you didn't.
I didn't like it at all when we saw it.
I did.
I could appreciate the story and what it was trying to depict, which is something really dark. And the performances were very just cold to me.
But that's, again, how they were. And I think I enjoyed it more because of my World War II deep dives that I always go down. And if you don't know what The Zone of Interest is about, it is about a Nazi officer and his wife that live directly next door to Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. And it's just about like their lives and how they can be so close to this like terrible thing happening and just go about their daily lives in a cold manner, like you said.
And I think that's what that movie did, was show how just dry and cold and how mundane their life is, despite the fact of what they are around and what they are surrounded by and the things you see. And the things that they don't show is almost more eerie because they don't show it. They don't show what's happening. And it's just these people trying to live a normal life. And I guess for me, it was hard to feel empathetic towards them in any way because they...
I don't think you were supposed to, though.
Yeah, I guess it's just hard for me to be like...
I don't think you're supposed to feel empathy towards them at all.
But for me, I want something bad to happen to them because they are Nazis. And knowing the outcomes, obviously, of World War II, I want to see them go down. Every Nazi in a movie, I want to see go down. So I guess that movie was just hard for me to not have that gratification.
And I see that.
It was just hard for me to also get into because it was showing just a dry, slow story. And it probably did that on purpose, but...
I don't think it helped either that we were in the very small room at the Bell Court. And sometimes it's hard to enjoy movies.
You're very close.
30-person seating and you're just like on top of each other. Yeah.
Best film editing went to Poor Things. Best costume design also went to Poor Things. Best makeup and hairstyling, again, went to Poor Things. They started a clean house.
They did. On
all of the artistic awards, like those, it was like an easy, just throw it to Poor Things. And they were all like coming one after each other. I think that was cool that they all worked in that movie together and were all able to win.
Got recognized.
Like that is awesome.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
But the one I was so excited about, Best Visual Effects, the movie I wanted to win, the movie I actually wanted to be nominated for Best Picture, Godzilla Minus One.
I'm just going to go ahead and throw in that my worst moment of the night was when they wrapped them off the stage with the music. And let me tell you why it pissed me off is because they clearly went up there. They didn't have an interpreter. They were speaking in English. They were reading off their page. Like, they were trying to do it in English by themselves. And that is not their first language. And they wrapped them off the stage. And I was like, he is doing his best to give a speech in the language that everyone in the audience speaks instead of his own. And he just needed like 30 more seconds. And it really pissed me off.
I know. And that was huge for them. They were so excited going into award season. Just to be nominated, I think, would have been enough for them. But to win.
They had the Godzilla heels on all their shoes. They had the photo of the creator who passed away.
They all had their little Godzilla figures.
I know. It was so pure like and that sweet.
That is what makes me excited about the Oscars, the people who are so passionate about it. And I think that is why that movie was so good and impactful, because they cared so much about making a good Godzilla movie and they loved the character and they gave us that. And to be recognized now in not the biggest of category, but I feel like that's a major win for them.
That was my most shocking movie of 2023.
That you enjoyed? Loved.
I did not want to go see it, but I was like, okay, we'll go after dinner on Friday. Loved it.
And the thing about it is you can't watch it anywhere. If you didn't see it in theaters or when it came back in black and white, it's not available to rent. It's not available to buy. It's not even going to be on Blu-ray for quite a while. They haven't announced anything because it is a Japanese film. The ball is in their court on when to release it in the United States. So as soon as it's available, I'll try to post about it or do a segment on it here, because I think everybody needs to give that movie a chance, even though it is in Japanese. And you have to watch it with subtitles, but man, what a great movie to see Godzilla after 30 plus films finally get an Oscar.
I've said it on here before. I think that watching movies with subtitles makes you smarter as you're watching because you're paying attention and reading at the same time. And I love it because it makes me put my phone down and not multitask.
Yeah.
Because I'm so guilty of that when watching a movie.
I feel like you just eat it up more because you're paying attention. And if it's done really well, you get all the emotion out of it, even though you don't understand the language.
And you don't even notice after a certain point that you're reading. Mm-mm. Like your brain just absorbs it.
My favorite moment of the night, almost tied, I would almost say the I'm Just Ken performance, which I think was the big moment as far as like the viral thing, because, but I knew going into it that that was going to be great.
It was,
I mean,
so good.
Ryan Gosling performing it, he brought out all the people and they, you know, did the ode to like, was it Marilyn Monroe?
Mm-hmm. And Madonna, I think, had also done something similar.
I just knew that was going to be a big fun moment. Aside from that, the moment I wasn't expecting was John Mulaney getting up there and giving out an award. Here's a little bit of that.
Now the Oscar for Achievement in Sound. You know, for years, movies didn't have sound, and then they figured it out. Some people say that the silent era was the golden era of film. These people are difficult and insane. Without sound, we wouldn't have been able to hear such classic lines as, you're gonna need a bigger boat. I'll have what she's having. And he was in the Amazon with my mother when she was researching spiders just before she died.
A lot of digs at Madam Web last night. And I think it's just because John Mulaney has such a funny voice. He sounds like Spider-Ham without even trying. Just him talking is just funny to me. And he is such an effortless comedian that we were talking about earlier who would be, you know, how hard it is to host. I think if he hosted the Oscars, I think I would love it. You think he's too weird?
Not even that. I just think that a full 3 hours of John Mulaney's cadence and joke telling would be a lot.
I think, yeah, maybe he's good in little bursts. The worst of the night had to be Al Pacino giving out the biggest award of the night and completely botching it.
Like he was just ordering a Bloomin' Onion at the Outback Steakhouse.
And they were teasing it the entire time of like, this big
a legend
is going to come out and give the award for best picture. And he comes out on stage and does this.
10 wonderful films were nominated, but only one will take the award for best picture. And I have to go to the envelope for that. And I will. Here it comes. And my eyes see Oppenheimer. Yes. Yes. Emma Thomas, Charles Grodin.
He goes, what happened?
Because he had no clue that he had just read the award?
Doesn't even say who was nominated. Stumbles into it and then
I see Oppenheimer.
And then they just start playing the music and Christopher Nolan gets up there and Al Pacino gets shuffled away. What a weird moment. And that is always like it is the biggest award of the night.
So anticlimactic.
And there was nothing to it. I think the ones I did enjoy when they did Best Actor and Best Actress that they brought out former.
That was really cool.
Winners to say a little something about each of the nominees. I haven't seen them do that before. I thought that was a really nice touch. Usually they just bring back the previous winner, but to see them all up there together, and it was a little bit time consuming, but I thought that was a really cool moment for each of them.
I enjoyed that because they were giving like genuine moments of how they knew the person, or like Jamie Lee Curtis talked about Jodie Foster, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like BFFs. Like I said, Sally Field, Emma Stone knew each other. So I thought the like personal connections were really cool.
Some other moments that were interesting to me is Wes Anderson also finally won his first Oscar, but he wasn't there. Maybe he thought he wasn't going to win. And it was weird that he won it for the short film on Netflix and wasn't even nominated for Asteroid City. So I bet he was like, man, you know, I love that film too, but like I put out a full feature film last year and it didn't get any recognition.
Billie Eilish has now won more Oscars than Martin Scorsese.
Yeah. I am so over that song though. She has been, her and Phineas have been at every single award show like this season.
Not even just this season. I feel like she always has a song that's like huge around, and I love Billie Eilish. But if I have to hear What Was I Made For one more time.
They played it so much, and I liked that song in the initial stages, but now I don't need to hear that song ever again.
And I love sad, haunting music, but I'm just over that. They should have done Dua Lipa's Dance the Night Away. That would have been great.
What were your favorite fashion moments of the night?
Hmm.
I will say Billie Eilish looked pretty cool.
Billie's outfit was fabulous.
She always looks like she's wearing somebody else's clothes, like she just raided somebody else's closet. Last night, I feel like she looked the most normal.
It was like a very award show look. It was great.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
Carrie Mulligan, Emma Stone looked phenomenal. America Ferrera, Margot Robbie, the whole Barbie cast looked stunning.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling, his ceremony suit, but also the pink suit he wore during the performance.
Yes.
Both great.
Divine Joy Randolph looked beautiful.
How tan was Matthew McConaughey?
It's very tan.
He was so tan. He was browner than I am.
A little too tan, maybe.
Very tan.
I love that Bradley Cooper brings his mom. I thought Robert Downey Jr.'s wife looked beautiful.
I wonder if Bradley Cooper knew he wasn't going to win anything. That he's like, I put out an Oscar bait film and that nobody really cared about.
Here's the fashion statement I didn't love. Both Florence Pugh and Emily Blunt were wearing these dresses that had like floating straps where it just looked like the dress didn't fit. I didn't love that style.
Yeah, it looked like it was frozen and then they were like holding it up.
I wasn't a big fan of that.
None of the guys wore ties. Are ties out? Like the bow tie was there, but for the majority, like The Rock, Bad Bunny, they came out, no ties. Nobody was wearing ties.
That's a little too formal and stuffy.
Isn't that what the Oscars are, though? Like black suit, tie.
Yeah, but I feel like sometimes a tie, like, you don't really need a tie to look cool. There's cooler ways.
Is it more reckless not to wear a tie, show a little skin?
I feel like the men's outfits, so we saw a lot of like wide leg pants, suit pants, which was cool.
Yeah,
like there was a variation on all of like the suits.
I think the one who did it best is Robert Downey Jr.
Another fashion moment, I love Zendaya. She never misses with her fashion. She looks stunning. I saw a tweet and they were like, how does it feel to be Zendaya and just know that you've just won everything just by leaving the house, like getting dressed?
And that she came out, didn't have anybody else presenting with her. She's like, just me.
She didn't. This is all you need. Yeah, I loved seeing something like the after party fashion. Like Margot Robbie did a gold number and someone was like, I'm really sad. This is the end of the Barbie fashion tour. And I feel that because her Barbie press tour looks were...
It was a lot.
Really great. I could go on and on about the fashion, but this isn't a fashion podcast, so I'll shut up now.
It's still Oscars, so anything else, it's all fair game.
I did see someone on Instagram really pressed about the fact that a lot of the after party fashion was very nipple forward.
Free the nip.
Free the nip. And somebody commented and they were like, doesn't anyone get arrested for indecent exposure anymore? And I was like, I don't think a dress like showing that is really indecent exposure. I don't really know.
So women can't show nipples, but John Cena can come out
in a loincloth,
wearing just holding just the card over.
Yeah, welcome to the double standard.
I thought that was the forced funny moment of the night.
Yeah, John Cena knows that he is just there to be the laughingstock.
Yeah, he's almost. Yeah, they do use him a lot like that. Hey, you're big and muscly.
Physical comedy, be stupid.
I feel like the award show did need that. Because it wasn't very funny as far as like the bits that they did. There really wasn't anything. So without that, it would have just been the I'm Just Ken performance. But that just felt like, this is the one that everybody's going to be talking about tomorrow. And we barely mentioned here at the end because it felt a little forced.
Yeah, I'm not like a John Cena stan, but he does have a special place in my heart because he does do all the like Make-A-Wish trips and he holds like the record number of like Make-A-Wish things. So I feel like he's a very... nice person, but I do feel bad that he gets just kind of like the trope of like physical comedy all the time.
Yeah, he's hit or miss on the movie roles he takes. I think he's really great at Peacemaker, has done some really good work also in the Suicide Squad, which is the same character.
Daddy's Home too.
But then he also does like the really wacky comedy roles that, well, like Vacation Friends Part 1 and Part 2 that are a little
part
lower
one,
the top.
Great. Part 2, meh. I'm thinking if there's anything else that I want to shout out.
Otherwise, I think we have covered it all. I was, again, happy to hit that parlay. But overall, I feel like usually I'm more excited to tell people, like, here are all the movies you need to check out that won awards. But really, just Oppenheimer and Poor Things dominated. And I don't think Poor Things is necessarily for everybody because of the graphic nature of that movie.
Definitely not.
It's also very weird and artsy, which... even for me, it took me a little bit to get into liking it. It was once the story developed that I thought, oh, this is actually a movie with a lot to say, and it's pretty powerful, but just done in a really obscure, weird way.
Another moment I would like to shout out that we did not talk about. One of the other performances, the Osage Singers.
Oh, that was great.
My People. I thought that was incredible. I loved that performance. That might be one of my top three moments of the night.
I wish that song would have won over Billie Eilish.
I know. I really wanted that. I wanted something. I think I wanted something for Killers of the Flower Moon that represented the Osage and the community. So I would have loved if like Lily Gladstone, because she was the first Native to be nominated. I would have loved that for her win. I would have loved that for the Osage Singers. I wanted something celebrating the Native American indigenous communities to win an award. Like, I didn't need it to be like Robert De Niro, Scorsese. Mm-hmm. I wanted something that celebrated the community that was so traumatized by these events and overlooked and marginalized. So that's why I wish that would have won.
Yeah. It did not win very much.
I also would have liked more of the dog from Anatomy of a Fall.
Yeah, that's cool dog. Best actor in that movie.
Loved learning that Christopher Nolan and his wife worked together on everything.
She's been a producer on every single one of his movies.
That was cool. I was like, wow, I cannot imagine working on every single one of your projects. I don't know that that would be good for us.
My other favorite win was for the score of Oppenheimer. Ludwig won.
You love Ludwig. And Ludwig.
Ludwig, primarily because he is a longtime collaborator with Childish Gambino. He did a lot of his early albums. They toured together. He was his guitar player. And throughout that time, Ludwig was making music for TV shows and movies. He did the theme song for Community. He also put out an EP back in the early 2010s that I loved. And now has really transitioned into scoring movies like Black Panther, did like The Mandalorian, like these really big epic scores, and has now won a lot of Oscars as well and Grammys. So I think he is incredibly talented, and to see somebody go from just doing music in like a bedroom to now being on the biggest stage and winning awards, and also just how much people praise Christopher Nolan for coming back and being loyal to people. It feels like the people who have worked with Christopher Nolan have been around for a long time. And I think that's the coolest thing, when not only do they have actors who they collaborate with again and again, but the cinematographer, Ludwig, his wife, like, it's just cool to see somebody at that level who could rehire people at a cheaper rate and just be like, all right, I'm the real deal here. I don't need to, you know, rely on anybody. He goes to all these people and keeps coming back to them because he values their work. That was another cool thing I really took away from last night. Of all the directors, I feel like he is the most genuine.
I would agree. And I would like to say that my dream host would be Kate McKinnon.
That would be, yeah.
She's so funny. She's so funny. Like, she could command that audience.
Yeah, I think it needs a female host.
Weird Barbie forever.
I'm over the dudes. The late night talk show host is just like...
Been over dudes for a long time in the award show.
Let's switch it up. But that is our Oscar recap. Anything else?
To summarize, justice for the Godzilla Minus One special effects team.
Mm-hmm.
Want to hear the rest of their speech. Fashion was phenomenal. Al Pacino was a bust. It wasn't that funny. Joke was. Yeah. There we go.
And if you miss the full new episode, just go back one in the feed. And until next time, go out and watch good movies, and I will talk to you later.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.